Good afternoon, everyone. Do you love that chicken from Popeyes, but you're also on a diet? Well, fear no more. There's a New Jersey personal trainer and nutritionist that's now sharing how to make a meal at the National Chicken Chain for less than 500 calories, and we'll show you how. In the headlines on the update this Friday, a man was arrested for allegedly taking a decommissioned New York City fireboat for an overnight cruise on the Hudson River before becoming stuck, jumping ship, and stealing another vessel. We'll have the latest details. A city council member wants to beautify the concrete medians in this city by adding greenery, claiming that the new plants will help curb the flooding during storms. The Mets needed a much-needed blowout, and they got one against the Braves. DJ Stewart hit a two-run homer and a four-run third, and Tyrone Taylor, the pinch hitter, smashed a ninth-inning grand slam to cap the rout as the Mets took a series from the Braves. And we're remembering a controversial icon in O.J. Simpson. The football star and Hollywood actor acquitted, of course, of those charges that he killed his former wife and her friend in a trial that mesmerized the public and exposed the divisions on race and policing in this country. He's died at the age of 76. This is the update. Friday, April the 12th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is The Update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Friday. TGIF to all of you out there. It's another Friday, closer to the weekend in this bustling human metropolis. You know, I hope all of you really do will have a great time out there in the activity of your choice. Following some showers we had earlier, the forecast for this week calls for a mix of clouds and sun, although the winds will be more noticeable on Saturday than Sunday. It's also worth noting, spring break is fast approaching. It's next week. It's unbelievable. And there are going to be some enjoyable times ahead during that time off for most people, I'm sure of it. O.J. Simpson, of course, he passed away at the age of 76. It's garnered some attention, and it'll be one of the main points in our national news. Regardless of your personal opinions of Simpson, he leaves behind a legacy as a polarizing figure in cultural history. Ain't that the truth? I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We are going to begin this Friday's proceedings with an age-old question. This boat is whose boat? A man was arrested yesterday for allegedly taking a decommissioned New York City fireboat for an overnight cruise on the Hudson River before he became stuck, jumped ship, and stole another vessel, according to the NYPD. He was charged with two counts of grand larceny. He wasn't arraigned as of yesterday afternoon, and it wasn't immediately clear also if he had a lawyer. The man commandeered the fireboat, now known as the John J. Harvey, by untying it from its mooring at Pier 66 on the west side of Manhattan. The 130-foot-long vessel, which now serves as a museum, earned local acclaim after it was used to evacuate the survivors of 9/11. Once aboard the fireboat, the man was able to drift a short distance into the Hudson, but he quickly got stuck. He leapt overboard, plunging into the frigid waters, and later emerging on a second stolen vessel. He navigated that sailboat toward Pier 51, roughly 15 blocks south of his original location. Now, on to some of the other news of this Friday. And people in this city that are worried about the porch pirates can now ship their packages to public lockers across this city under a new pilot program. But the critics say that the lockboxes are bound to become a prime target for the criminals. Democratic City Council member Bob Holden from Queens pressed the DOT Commissioner Yadonis Rodriguez for more information on the initiative in a letter penned on Wednesday, just hours after the first pickup spot was opened in Brooklyn. Holden wrote in the letter, which was obtained by the New York Post, quote, "The broad accessibility of the proposed public lockers raises security concerns, including the potential for illicit activities. The prospect of these lockers being used for unauthorized transactions, such as the sale of drugs or other illegal items, must be considered. As part of the Locker NYC pilot program, which was announced last July but launched only this week, the DOT, they set up 15 centralized lockers around the five boroughs where New Yorkers can pick up their packages. The plan is aimed at preventing porch pirates, who are responsible, of course, for snatching thousands of packages every day. Out in Queens, right next to the great big ballpark out there, known as City Field, city officials, they approved a plan yesterday to build a 25,000-seat stadium for the NYCFC, the football soccer club for MLS, next to City Field. The $780 million soccer stadium, expected to open in 2027, will anchor a 23-acre redevelopment project in the Willits Point section, while it also will include housing, a new public school, retail stores, and also a hotel. The new stadium will be the first venue in the city dedicated to professional soccer. NYCFC, which won the MLS title in 2021, currently plays home games at Citi Field or at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. The club's vice chairman, Marty Edelman, said in a statement released by the city, quote, "Today's city council vote gets us one step closer to bringing this promise to life in Queens. The world's borough will be our home for the world's game." In addition to City Field, the soccer venue's neighbors will include, of course, the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center, where the U.S. Open is played. We've all seen them around this city, FDNY, those EMS workers, working to save lives every day. They're soon now going to have access to body armor and special training as part of legislation that was passed yesterday by the city council to address an increase in attacks on first responders. The pair of bills authorized by Minority Leader Joseph Borelli would require the FDNY to provide EMTs and paramedics with bullet and stab-proof armored vests, along with self-defense and de-escalation training. Mayor Adams, though, must still sign these bills, which had stalled in committee last year. Borelli said during a city council hearing yesterday, quote, "In the 4 or 5 years since these bills have been kicked around, attacks on EMTs have gone up double in that short amount of time. They've gone up 20 times in the 2 decades or so since it was first kept track of." In 2022 alone, the city's EMTs and paramedics were attacked or threatened 363 times. That's a staggering jump of over 2,230% from the 15 that were reported in 2011, according, of course, to the nearby records. there's a big day coming up for the marijuana enthusiasts out there, 420. And the legal cannabis industry, in relation, they hit a new high this week. More than 100 licensed pot shops are now open across the Empire State. Of the 103 sellers in business, 44 of them are located within the five boroughs. 19 other licensed weed operators will open shortly, and 35 other retail licenses were approved by the State Cannabis Control Board yesterday. CCB Chairwoman Tramine Wright said during the public hearing yesterday, quote, "We haven't even tipped the iceberg yet." Legal marijuana sales from cannabis shops jumped 32% for the first 3 months of this year to $85 million. That's more than the $62 million, during the last quarter of 2023, according to John Kagan, the State Office of Cannabis Management's policy director. There's a city council member that wants to beautify the concrete medians in this town by adding greenery, claiming the new plants will help curb flooding during storms. Council member Oswald Feliz's bill, dubbed Operation Green NYC, and introduced yesterday, would require the city to build 3 miles per borough per year of vegetation on paved medians until all of them are filled with flora. Feliz, who's a representative, who's a council member from the Bronx, said, quote, "We must prepare our city for the environmental threats that are becoming more intense and frequent. And this bill will help us do so by requiring the construction of greenery and storm water management systems in every community. The greenery will beautify communities, clean our air, reduce noise pollution, and decrease risk of flooding. It will also improve quality of life through cleaner, quieter, and green environments, and will protect entire communities from safety threats posed by extreme weather." Residents in the Bronx, though, they were split on the idea, with one woman saying she believed the new medians would look nice, look really nice, in quotes, but may not do as much to help with flooding as cleaning up the sewage system actually would. Meanwhile, do you hate having tipping options shoved in your face whenever you go out to eat? Well, according to a city council member, that's too bad. Sean Abreu, the Democrat from Manhattan, introduced a bill that would force delivery apps to put tipping options front and center when you order, with 10% being the default. Abreu told the New York Post, quote, "All we're asking for in this legislation is for the tipping option to return to what it used to be. More people are inclined to tip if they see the option prior to getting their meal. Once they have their meal, they're tapped out." Abreu said after the city boosted wages for delivery workers earlier this month, apps changed their procedures, quote, "in retaliation, making it more difficult for consumers to tip the drivers." For instance, DoorDash and Uber Eats remove the option to tip until after a customer receives the order, while Grubhub, which also encompasses Seamless, lowered the default rate of tipping being displayed. In other news, there was a nunchuck-wielding man with a lengthy rap sheet who attacked a podcaster on the streets of Midtown, but was promptly cut loose with no bail by a Manhattan judge. 50-year-old Brian Kenyatta apparently left podcaster Stevie Lou with a fractured arm in the unprovoked attack on 7th Avenue and 35th Street around noon on March 12th after following Lou and screaming, "F you, I'm gonna F you up," according to the victim on a podcast. But Kenyatta, who has 12 prior arrests, was back on the streets Tuesday on supervised release by Judge Marva Brown, who the same judge who made headlines 2 months ago for setting another alleged violent attacker free. Brown previously freed Amira Hunter, who was accused, of course, of bashing a Subway cellist in the head with a metal bottle. She was arrested days later after caught stealing from Nordstrom. And finally, we're going to go to New Jersey, where the Center for Islamic Life at Rutgers University was broken into and trashed overnight, days after anti-Israel agitators interrupted a town hall and Jewish students had to be ushered out by police. A video online posted by the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, shows glass shattered on the floor as well as damage to TVs, printers, and artwork with Quranic verses. A CILRU statement said, quote, "This reprehensible act occurring on our sacred day is undoubtedly fueled by Islamophobia. It's clearly a hate crime targeting our Muslim population at Rutgers." A Palestinian flag was ripped from a pole, according to CILRU Imam Kaiser Aslam, who shared a video of the aftermath of the break-in. The vandalism, according to the Rutgers PD, occurred sometime between Tuesday night and early Wednesday. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Friday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports as the Mets finally got a much-needed blowout as they took a series against the Twins. We're going to talk together the latest national news, remembering O.J. Simpson, of course. The football star and the Hollywood actor acquitted of those charges that he killed his former wife and her friend in a trial that mesmerized the public, exposed divisions on race and policing in this country. He was only 76 years old. And at the end of the broadcast today, do you love that chicken from Popeyes, but you're on a diet? Well, a New Jersey personal trainer and nutritionist is now sharing how to make a meal at the national chicken chain for less than 500 calories. So on this Friday, where we're getting ready for another weekend here in the big town, the forecast does look promising, and spring break is fast approaching. Next week, it'll be here. It's always going to be a lot of fun. So on this Get Out of Town Friday, we're going to talk about all that and a lot more, too, of course, folks, when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. I've been the host of this show now for 7 years. That's right, 7 years. Now, if you had a job for 7 years, or if you were in a relationship or married to someone like I am with my wife for 7 years, you would think at this point you would know that person inside and out, backwards and forwards, wouldn't you? No, but no, not my wife. She's full of surprises. I can honestly sit here in this desk at this studio and say that after nearly 7 years of being with my wife, I know no more about her than the day that I got into a relationship with her. She's full of surprises. She's like Dora, or not Dora, a Swiper. He's very sneaky like that. This is the Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. and she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the Update with Brandon Juliet, available wherever you're listening to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street Jackson Heights because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer, an MTA employee, or use the Help Point intercom in stations. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
So I think it's safe to say the Mets have been very frustrated for the first couple of games of the season, the first couple of series. They needed a blowout in the worst possible way, where you don't need to worry about clinging on to a lead. Well, they had to worry about a 12-run lead. Mets and the Braves going at it down in Hot Atlanta, as people call it, apparently. DJ Stewart at a 2-run homer and a 4-run third. Tyrone Taylor, a pinch hitter, smashed a 9th-inning grand slam. And to cap the rout, as the Mets beat the Braves 16-4. Jose Quintana gave up 3 runs in 5 and a third. Jeff McNeil drove in 3 runs on 2 hits for his berth in the best game of the season for the Mets' bat so far. They set season highs so far for runs and with 16 hits. Stewart's homer, which gave the Mets a 7-0 lead, was his second of this series. The DH had no hits before this series, before he had a 2-run homer in the Mets' series opener win Monday night. Luis Guillorme gave up that grand slam to Taylor in his first appearance with the Braves. Guillorme was used as a pitcher for the first time since appearances on the mound for the Mets during 2020 and also 2021. One of the heroes in that Mets rout was Tyler Jay. He had ample time to wonder if he'd ever realize his dream of pitching in the majors when he was released by the Twins in 2019. Jay, who made his long-awaited debut for the Mets 9 years after the left-hander was drafted by the Twins in the first round, the number 6 overall pick in 2015, quote, maybe every day. Jay threw 2 innings, allowing 1 run in the Mets' win, and was named Pitcher of the Game by teammates who showed their appreciation for the determination he showed and his unlikely path to the majors. Jay said, quote, they were just, like, super pumped for me and happy for me, which means a lot. You see, Jay had to overcome a disease in eosinophilic esophagitis, or EOE for short, and had to restart his career with the Joliet Slammers, an independent frontier league near his Chicago-area home. The disease affects the digestive process and caused him to lose weight, adding difficulty to his efforts on the mound. To Los Angeles in the American West we go now, because we're learning more about the Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, Epi Mizuhara. Federal authorities, they charged him with federal bank fraud, alleging that he actually stole more than what he told them. It's actually about $16 million from the Japanese sensation Shohei Ohtani to cover gambling bets and also debts, too. Mizuhara, a constant presence beside Ohtani in stadiums across this country since 2018, abused the two-way player's trust in him and exploited the language barrier to plunder a bank account that only he could access, according to the prosecutors. U.S. Attorney Marvin Estrada said Mizuhara was so intertwined with Ohtani's life and career that he became the Stars' quote, de facto manager. The role enabled him to withdraw money from the account, at times lying and impersonating Ohtani to bank employees to finance his, quote, insatiable appetite for illegal sports betting. The announcement yesterday at a packed news conference in downtown L.A. ended weeks of speculation about Mizuhara's self-admitted gambling problems, the wide-ranging federal investigation, and Ohtani's role in it all. Estrada said that there is no evidence that Ohtani was aware of his interpreter's actions, adding that Ohtani has cooperated with the investigators. From the diamond, let's go over to the ice. Let's see here. Rangers and the Flyers going at it. The Rangers are not really playing for a whole lot more, unless they're just trying to prove it to themselves. Bobby Brink scored the go-ahead goal early in the second. Samuel Harrison made 24 saves, and the Flyers, they snapped an 8-game losing streak with a 4-1 win over the Rangers. Cam York, Travis Concini, and Noah Cates scored for the Flyers, who were 0-6-2 since they beat Boston at home back in mid-March. Ryan Poling added 2 assists as the Flyers stayed alive in the tight playoff race in the Eastern Conference. The Rangers, they had won 7 in a row against the Flyers and were 10-0-1 in their last 11 meetings with the Flyers. Arison improved to 22-18-7 while allowing only a goal to Artemi Panarin. The Rangers, they remained at 53 wins, that's still just one shy of a franchise record. North of the border, Devils and the Maple Leafs going at it. Jesper Bratt, he broke a tie with a minute 14 left with his second goal of the game. And the Devils beat the Maple Leafs 6-5, overcoming star Austin Matthews. He now has 68 goals on the year. That leads the entire NHL. Matthews has the most goal in the league since Mario Lemieux had 69 back in 1996. Brett also had an assist. Timo Meier had two goals and an assist. And Eric Halla and Nolan Foote also scored for Jersey. Jake Allen stopped 27 shots, and Luke Hughes had two assists. John Tavares scored twice for Toronto. David Camp added a goal, and Ilya Samsonov made 14 saves. And from the ice, let's go over to the hardwood. Knicks and the Celtics going at it in Beantown. Knicks are fighting for that number two spot in the Eastern Conference as the season comes to a close. Jalen Brunson, he scored 39 in three quarters, and the Knicks kept up their quest for the number two spot by beating the Celtics 118-109. One day after clinching a playoff spot, the Knicks pulled within one game of the Bucks for second place, with each team having two games to play. The Knicks would have to win both, and the Bucks would have to lose both their games at OKC and Orlando, because Milwaukee, they do have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Bronson shot 15 of 23 from the field and 6 of 11 from three-point land. Backcourt mate Dante DiVincenzo at 17, and Josh Hart finished with a double-double, 16 points, 16 boards. New York also received a lift off the bench from its primary acquisition at the deadline, the trading deadline, as Bojan Bogdanovic had 14 points. Jason Tatum scored 18 for Boston, Braden Pritchard had 16 off the bench, and Jaylen Brown and Sam Hauser, they each had 15. Of course, we're remembering O.J. Simpson, the football star and the Hollywood actor, accused, of course, acquitted in that trial that he killed his former wife and her friend. He's died, of course, at the age of 76. There's a dead humpback whale that washed ashore on Long Beach Island in Jersey, the first such death in the state this year, according to a marine mammal rescue group. And Drake has been dismissed from a lawsuit over the Astroworld Festival that was deadly in 2021, in which 10 people were killed, according to a judge. Going to talk about this and more because national news, it's next for us around here, of course, when the update Brian and Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend, as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well.
Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon and Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, only a rental and only $5 a day. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday, everyone. A getaway Friday for some of us, most definitely a Fri-yay for others. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us as we're getting ready once again for the weekend. You know, let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin out in the American West in Las Vegas, where we are remembering O.J. Simpson, of course, the football star and the Hollywood actor acquitted of charges that he killed his former wife and her friend in a trial that mesmerized the public and exposed divisions on race and policing in America. He's died at the age of 76. The family announced on Simpson's official X account that he died Wednesday of prostate cancer. He died in Las Vegas, according to officials there, yesterday. Simpson, of course, he earned fame, fortune, and adulation through football and show business, but his legacy was forever changed by the June 1994 knife slayings of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman in Los Angeles. He was later found liable for the deaths in a separate civil case, and then served 9 years in prison on unrelated charges. Goldman's father, Fred, and his sister, Kim, released a statement acknowledging that, quote, the hope for true accountability has ended. Regardless of your personal opinions of Simpson, he leaves behind a legacy as a polarizing figure in cultural history. In other news, we're going to go over to Houston, where the police there said yesterday that they're still reviewing if DNA testing in connection with thousands of sexual assault and sex crime cases that were dropped due to staffing issues could have led officers to potential suspects and possible arrests. The more than 4,000 sexual assault cases that were dropped by police in the past 8 years are part of more than 264,000 incident reports that were never submitted for investigation as officers assigned them, an internal code that cited a lack of available personnel. Police Chief Tony Finner first made public the existence of the dropped cases back in February. During a news conference yesterday, Police Commander Elizabeth Lorenzana said that after meeting on the 27th with the city's crime lab, the Houston Forensic Science Center, officials were told that of the 4,000 sexual assault incident reports, more than 1,100 had sexual assault kits that had been tested for DNA. The crime lab also reviewed nearly 5,100 incident reports related to indecent assaults and exposures and reported that 57 had kits that were tested for DNA. To Decision 2024 we go now, a little over 6.5 months to the election. The former president yesterday encouraged liberals to vote for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., arguing that the independent presidential candidate is further to the left than President Biden and, quote, a better man. Trump said in a video posted on Truth Social, quote, RFK Jr. is, as you know, the most radical left candidate in the race. He's more so than the Green Party. He's more so than even crooked Joe Biden. But he's got some nice things about him. I happen to like him. Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee, then suggested that liberal voters, quote, should cast ballots for Kennedy over the 81-year-old incumbent, Joe Biden, in November, given his policy positions and his character. The former president said, quote, I guess that would mean that RFK Jr. is going to be taking away votes from crooked Joe Biden, and he should because he's actually better than Biden. He's much better than Biden. If I were a Democrat, I'd vote for RFK Jr. every single time over Biden because he's frankly more in line with Democrats. Down the Jersey Shore, we go now to Long Beach Township in New Jersey, where a dead humpback whale that washed ashore there on Long Beach Island yesterday was the first such death in the state this year, according to a marine mammal rescue group. The Marine Mammal Stranding Center said it received a call at about 6:45 in the morning, reporting a dead humpback whale in the surf in Long Beach Township. It said that the animal was a young male about 20 to 30 feet long, but did not release further information, including whether there were any outward signs of injury or illness. Sheila Dean, director of the center, said a necropsy was being performed on the whale last night. The center's website said that the state's first whale death of the year follows 14 whale deaths in Jersey during 2023. NOAA did not respond to a request for information on the whale death and similar fatalities in the last few months along the East Coast. Down in Nashville in Tennessee, the Republican-led legislature there has overwhelmingly voted to send to Governor Bill Lee a proposal that would ban marriage between first cousins. The vote cast a 75-2 vote yesterday on the bill after the Senate previously approved it without any opposition. But a particularly vocal opponent, Republican Representative Gino Bulso, took up most of the debate time as he argued for an amendment to allow first cousin marriages if the couple first seeks counseling from a genetic counselor. In a previous committee hearing on the bill, Bulso lightheartedly shared a story about how his grandparents were first cousins who came to the U.S. from Italy in the 1920s. Then travel from Ohio to Tennessee to get married. He and the other lawmakers laughed, and Bulso voted for the bill in that committee. Then, during the floor debate yesterday, the socially conservative attorney argued that the risk of married cousins having a child with birth defects does not exist for gay couples. He contended there is no compelling government interest to ban same-sex cousins from getting married, saying that that would run afoul of the U.S. Supreme Court's gay marriage decision. And finally, we're going to go down to Houston, where the hip-hop artist Drake has now been dismissed from a lawsuit over the deadly 2021 Astroworld Festival, in which 10 people were killed, according to a judge. Drake was a special guest of the rap superstar Travis Scott, who had headlined the festival. He performed with Scott at the end of the concert on November 5th of 2021. As the crowd surged and attendees were packed so tightly that many could not breathe or move their arms or legs, authorities and festival organizers were trying to shut down the show. The families of the 10 people who died during the concert, as well as the hundreds who were injured, sued Drake, Scott, and Live Nation, the festival's promoter, as well as dozens of other individuals and entities. Many of those who were sued, including Drake and Scott, have asked State District Judge Kristen Hawkins to dismiss the lawsuits against them. On Wednesday, Hawkins dismissed Drake from the case in a brief order. Do you personally love the chicken from Popeyes, but you happen to be on a diet? Well, there happens to be an answer for you. A New Jersey personal trainer and nutritionist is sharing how to make a meal at the National Chicken Chain for less than 500 calories. Gonna talk about this because your honorable mention is next, when the update of Brandon Julian continues.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Brandon Julian. You know, every day, folks, in this studio, while I give the news to you, I ponder sometimes the questions of the universe that many people wonder and want answers to. Like, for example, why can't I wear white after Labor Day? I bet you never thought of that one, huh? This is The Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday, everyone. A getaway Friday for some of us, most definitely a Fri-yay for others. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us before we all get out of town for the weekend, if that's what you're deciding to do. We have just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. Are you one of those people that just happens to love that chicken from Popeyes? Just like I like the chicken from Popeyes. You know, surprisingly, I think Popeyes is one of my favorite fast food places to go to. And I say that because me and her, my partner, literally just had a chicken sandwich the other day. Although, I will admit, when I was growing up, I liked KFC more than Popeyes. Because KFC, they had that popcorn chicken. Oh, the popcorn chicken was so good. Why do you have to get rid of it, KFC? But anyway, this is not about you know, which chicken place you like better. Do you like that chicken from Popeyes, but you just also happen to be on a diet? Well, we just happen to have the answer for you. Because you see, a New Jersey personal trainer and nutritionist is now sharing how to make a meal at the national chicken chain for less than 500 calories. Michael Ballantyne implored his TikTok followers, all 85,000, over 85,000 of them, in a clip back in January, quote, "Follow me." He entered a Popeyes in Paramus and asked for 8 blackened tenders, a 3-piece box and a 5-piece box. He then inquired about shredded lettuce, tomatoes, and other toppings. The cashier, who is off camera, tells Ballantyne that they have jalapenos, pickles, and mayonnaise. He orders buffalo sauce on the side and a small Coke Zero, which is 0 calories, 0 sugar. Ballantyne claims, quote, "I just got the meal, you guys. I did 8 blackened tenders, which is about 450 calories. Each blackened chicken tender is about 57 calories, give or take." He makes a bowl out of it by slicing jalapenos and pickles for 20 to 30 additional calories and adding them to the box along with 20 to 30 calories worth of buffalo sauce. A one-ounce packet of Popeye's Bayou Buffalo Sauce is about 60 calories. He says about the ingredients in the box that we're going to shake it up before noting that the meal is about 495 calories, 68 grams of protein, oh yeah, and about $25.04. The minute-long clip, which has scored more than 111,000 views through several questions from commenters. One person wanted to know why Ballantyne didn't go and said for 5 tenders and a small mashed potato, because a regular mashed potato with Cajun gravy is about 110 calories. Ballantyne explained, better protein to calories ratio. Somebody else also pointed out this meal's is high sodium content. Ballantyne reasoned about the sodium consumption, quote, "Factors such as sweat, temperature, physical activity, genetics, and attitude also play a role." Another person who actually tried this said, "I just tried this. It's good. Just a tad spicy." On his TikTok page, Ballantyne visits various fast food restaurants and grocery stores and makes meal recommendations. Of course, there are more than 3,000 Popeyes restaurants nationwide. So, you know, if you like that little bit of spice, see if it's right for you. I know me and spice have a kind of a love-hate relationship because I don't exactly do spice, you know? I will let you guys ponder on this, though, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Friday, April the 12th, 2024. That is the update on this Friday and for this week. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of my favorite episode series, we're going to revisit, as I've said before, a pivotal moment from the Donald Trump presidency. It's in year 2 when he took us out of the Iran nuclear deal. You will hear about that tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow, wherever you listen to this podcast. So until you make your plans and you get out there and enjoy the weekend, but just mind the winds. In the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And honey, I honestly can't believe that spring break is right around the corner. Literally, we're going to get to do all the things we want to do. Let's make those cup holders for your parents, you know? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending some of your time with us. I hope you do have a good weekend. We are literally right at spring break. It's almost there. You can feel it. I'll see you right back here, refreshed and ready to go on Monday.
See you then.